Good morning, saints. The title of my message this morning is, If You Keep in Memory. Some things we don't remember, and that's okay. But some things we need to remember. 1 Corinthians 15:2, Apostle Paul says, By which also you're saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you. We definitely need to keep in memory the gospel, unless ye have believed in vain. We need to remember that God remembers. The first time we hear about God remembering is in Genesis 9:15, where God says, And I will remember my covenant. God made a promise. God keeps his promises. He is faithful. He says, I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. We can be sure about that promise because God made it. He doesn't forget his promises. 2 Corinthians 1:20, for all the promises of God in him. What do you think that in him is? In Christ. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him, amen. Unto the glory of God by us. That's a pretty deep verse right there. So when do we need to remember? If you keep in memory, when do we need to remember? Ecclesiastes 12:1 says, Remember now. Remember now. Thy Creator in the days of thy youth. While the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. You know, you're young once, and then you get old. And so, Solomon is telling us that we should remember our Creator in the days of our youth. Because there's going to become a time, if you don't do that and you get older, and you are set in your sinful ways, you're going to say, I don't have any pleasure in the days that are now. I want to tell a story. It's in Dying Testimonies of the Saved and the Unsaved about a man who didn't remember his Creator in the days of his youth. Instead, he was presumptuous. You know, when we're presumptuous, we think that something's going to happen. We're sure of something that's not sure. We presume. So this man in the story, he lived under repeated religious instruction, and he was often urged to seek God while he was well. He was not ignorant of religion or openly hostile to it. He just admitted that it was true, but continually put off the decision, saying that there would be a more convenient season. When he was seized with a severe illness, a minister was sent for. At first, he appeared calm and said little. He acknowledged that he had long neglected religion, but spoke as though he still expected to attend to it. As the disease advanced and death drew nearer, his manner changed. Anxiety and distress became evident. He attempted to pray, but soon stopped, saying that he could not. He confessed that he had resisted conviction for years, and that now, though he desired to repent, he found no power to do so. He said that his heart seemed hard and unyielding, and that what once appeared easy now seemed impossible. As his distress increased, he cried out in anguish, I'm lost. I'm lost forever. I would give worlds if I had them for another opportunity. I once thought I could repent when I pleased, but now I find I cannot. Oh, do not trifle as I have done. My day is past. The door is shut. He repeatedly warned those around him not to delay as he had done, declaring that they had been told the truth and that he had fatally neglected it. He continued in great agitation and fear and died without expressing hope. So Solomon has some good advice, some good counsel. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. So God, there's something that we need to remember, and that is our Creator. And we also need to remember that we were also in bondage like the children of Israel. God wanted the children of Israel to remember that. Moses in Exodus 13:3 says, "Remember this day in which ye came out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. For by strength of hand the Lord brought you out from this place. There shall no leavened bread be eaten." So Egypt is a type of the world. Egypt is a type of being delivered from the world. And that's what got the picture there, is that the children of Israel came out of Egypt. They came out of the world, and they were headed to the promised land. And God was going to be their God, and they were going to be his people. And we need to remember that we also were in bondage. We were slaves in Egypt. Amen? And we need to remember that we didn't deliver ourselves out of Egypt. But we needed a deliverer. We needed a savior. And the Bible says, when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. That was us, the ungodly. And why do we remember? Why do we need to remember this? Because we are the branches and he is the vine. We have to abide in him in order to bear fruit. See, we can forget that we were once foolish and disobedient. Like, we can forget these things. That's why we need to remember. We need to remember that we are the branches, and without him, we can do nothing. That we get our life from him. You know, once we have life, we feel, well, I'm alive. I feel alive. I feel good. But we have to remember where the source of our life comes from. Otherwise, we start to take that life that we live for granted. And I think that ministering to people and preaching the gospel to our pagan neighbors and the sinners around us, it reminds us, it's a continual good reminder of where we would be without, if we didn't have the Lord. But we still need to abide in him and not forget that if we don't abide in him, that we're just cast forth as a branch and we're withered. So we have Apostle Paul and Apostle Peter reminding us about these things. And I'm going to read 2 Peter 1:1. "Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ." His righteousness. The righteousness of God. "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Here it is. "But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. See, we can forget. See, we need to remember, but we can also forget that we were purged from our old sins. Wherefore the rather, instead of forgetting, he says, wherefore the rather, brethren. How do we combat this forgetfulness that we were purged from our old sins? He says, rather give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Jesus and Savior Jesus Christ. An entrance shall be ministered unto you. I mean, I don't know what comes to your mind when you think about an entrance, but I wonder how it's going to be when we die and then we stand before God. I don't know how all that looks, you know, I don't claim to. But I just wonder, like, is there going to be, like, an announcement or, like, come on in or, like, another celebration? I mean, if someone comes to your home, don't you, like, and you haven't seen them for a while and they've been on a long trip, do you just go, oh, come on in, like, with nothing? Or is there, like you put a bunch of posters up in the house saying, welcome home, you know, and those kinds of things? And how much more, I guess, in heaven? When we get home, and this time has no constraint, and amount of people has no constraint, but I just see timelessness in all of this, that there's time to do that. Like, oh, well, there's millions of people dying. No, but somehow, I don't think time matters in heaven. There's no time, maybe. And so, there's enough time, if you will, for everyone to feel special and welcomed. With the banner, and maybe a trumpet announcement, or whatever it is that God says, welcome home. It's going to be amazing. So that's what I think about that. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What will that look like? We don't know, but I'm sure it's going to be amazing. Wherefore, here's the one I wanted to focus on also. Wherefore, because of all this, wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them. You know, I'm not telling you anything different than you already know. But that's what the Apostle Peter is saying here. But he doesn't want to be negligent to put them in remembrance of these things. So it's good that we remember and that we're reminded, to be put into remembrance means to remind you. Even though you know them and be established in the present truth. I'm not saying this to people who don't know the truth and aren't established in the present truth, but it's a good thing to be reminded of these things. When we don't remember where we've come from, we take things for granted. We can. And in Numbers chapter 11, verse 5, the children of Israel are out in the desert. They're out in the wilderness, and they've been eating manna. And now they get to complaining. And in their complaint, they're not really being honest. They're not seeing things the way they really were. But what they're doing is they're being unthankful. And when we're unthankful, we're really not seeing things the way they really are. We're self-delusional. And here's what they say. We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely. Oh, we had all. It was like a buffet there. Can you imagine? Every day we just had like a buffet is what they're basically saying. Now, do you really honestly think that that's the truth? That these people, like every day as slaves in Egypt who had to work like slaves and got beaten all that, that they have a buffet every day? I seriously doubt it. But they say, we remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. And say thou unto the people, say, okay, I'm sorry, I skipped a verse here. So that is far from the truth, that they could eat as much as they wanted, and that it was so good, and they had all these things. But what they didn't remember was the whip of the slave master on their back. What they didn't remember was when they went without food. What they didn't remember is having to work from sunup to sundown. And that's what can happen when we're not thankful, when we don't remember where we've come from. So let's remember. So God gives them what they want. In Numbers, a few verses later in verse 18, he tells Moses, "And say unto the people, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, and you shall eat flesh. For ye have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, Who shall give us flesh to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt. And therefore the Lord will give you flesh, and you shall eat. You shall not eat one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, neither 10 days, nor 20 days, but even a whole month, until it come out at your nostrils, and it be loathsome unto you, because you have despised the Lord which is among you, and have wept before him, saying, Why came we forth out of Egypt?" Wow. So here, their attitude was unthankful. And because of that, it grieved the Lord and angered the Lord. And he was going to give them what they wanted. Beware of asking something like this in your unthankfulness. Because God may just give it to you, but it'll come out of your nostrils. There's another reason why we should remember. Because there's a danger, if we don't remember, of forgetting that we've been forgiven a great debt. And this relates to forgiveness. Of course, we all know the story about the man that owed so much. And he said, "Just have patience with me," to his master, "and I will repay you everything." And it was a sum so great that he could really practically never earn enough. Who can earn $1 billion? Or a couple billion dollars. It wasn't going to happen. But the master freely forgave him. And then he went out and choked his fellow servant for a few $100. There's a danger, if we don't remember, in forgetting that we've been forgiven a great debt. That's what makes forgiving easier, right? Think about and remember, what have I done? How great of sins have I been forgiven? It makes it easier to forgive others. When we don't remember, there's also a danger of forgetting that we also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another, when we don't remember. And that if we don't remember that, then we can also take on an attitude of, "I'm holier than you." That you're a sinner and I'm a saint, which may be true, but who made you a sinner? Who made you a saint when you used to be a sinner? And that it was the grace of God. And so if we have an attitude like that and we think, "Now I'm a saint and you're just a sinner," then that kind of attitude can show forth, and it will. And it's a stench in God's nostrils. And people can tell. You know, we may think it doesn't show, but it will. So in Titus, it says, "Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work." So he's telling them, put them in mind, to remind them, right? Put them in mind, to remind them to be subject to principalities and powers, to be magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to be under authority. Remind them of this, right? Verse 2, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle. And now, as I was studying this, I've memorized the book of Titus. But in somehow, God just showed me something new about this. It says, showing all meekness unto all men. Okay, I've read that before. I've memorized it. I've recited it. But now, this understanding of where he says in verse 3, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish," or I just quoted, right? The reason why We need to show all meekness unto all men. The reason why we need to be subject to principalities and powers and to speak evil of no man, to be brawlers, to be gentle, is because it makes it easier for the unbelievers to hear our message. That's why he says, showing all meekness unto all men, and then, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish. When we show a meekness and a gentleness when we speak to others and don't have a high-mindedness that now I'm holier than you, it makes it easier for other people to hear. Look, I also was just like that. I was a wicked person. When we share a testimony like that, you're not placing yourself above others. You're coming down to their level and saying, look, I understand where you're coming from. I know what it feels like. I know what it's like to be in your shoes. I'm not way up here, you see? And that makes it easier for we, because we ourselves also do these things because, and show meekness unto all men, because we also were the same way. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. That's why we need to remember to be subject to principalities and powers, to not speak evil of people, to not to be brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. Because there are lots of other people out there who are just like us that need to hear this message, and we need to come at it. We need to deliver it in a way that's not high-minded. Another reason why we need to remember is we need to bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Let's remember all God's benefits towards us and be thankful, not unthankful. We need to remember that this goes along with remembering where we came from, the story of Saul, and that how he, when he was little in his own eyes, then that's when God chose him and used him. But he became very unuseful when that changed, when that attitude of his heart changed. Then that's when he became not a tool in God's hands, or not a vessel unto honor, but a vessel unto dishonor. And it all happened in the heart. Keep thine heart with all diligence. Out of it are the issues of life. You know, same thing happened with the spies when they went into the land. Saul was little in his own eyes at one point, and these others that went into the land, they said, we are like grasshoppers in their eyes, making themselves small when God says, you're big. It's an attitude of the heart. So how many of you here have ever heard of the saying, absence makes the heart grow fonder? Probably most of us. And I think there's some truth in that. It's not a biblical saying. But why is that? Why does absence make the heart grow fonder? Or maybe does it really make it grow fonder? I think, as I was thinking about that statement, like I mentioned, I think there's some truth in it, but I think that it's not that the heart grows fonder, it's just that the heart remembers what a blessing that this person was to me, and I had forgotten. And now I'm thinking about it again. I'm musing. I'm thinking, you know what? This person is such a blessing. I haven't seen them in so long. And now I appreciate them. And it brings back that right thinking about who they are in our lives. But here's the thing that's really encouraging is that we don't need to go away from somebody for our heart to feel thankful for them. But we can actually do something about that now. We don't have to have a separation. What we can do is we can think about how much they mean to us. We can think about what it would mean if we lost them. We can meditate on that. We can say, and then we can, in our heart, we can thank God for them. And then in our actions, in our words, we can share words of appreciation for them. We can love on them more, right? We can purpose to maybe minister to them more or spend more time with them, whatever it is. We can do that now. I think that's a good thing. What would life be like without them or without whatever it is? It could be a person or something. Okay, so as far as remembering, you know, there are things that God remembers, and there are things that God forgets. Concerning our sins, God says in Isaiah 43:25, I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake. That's interesting, isn't it? For mine own sake. And will not remember thy sins. That's a blessing when God won't remember our sins, but he forgets them. It's not us who just have memories. You know, in the Gospel of Luke, the angel says to the women gathered there at the tomb, he is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee. The angel is telling them, remember. So the angels were paying attention when Jesus was speaking, weren't they? Because they're telling the women, remember how he spake to you when he was in Galilee. And Jesus also calls us to remember. He says in John 15:20, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. Jesus is calling them to remember his words. And the Holy Spirit in John 14:26 is called the Comforter. And Jesus says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So God is really interested in us remembering what he said. And so much so that God sent the Holy Spirit so that we would remember. And here's a really special passage of Scripture where the people of God, you know, that little flock that God has, his own flock, his own little flock, that God has always had in every generation, they're gathering together, this little flock, in Malachi 3:16, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. And the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And it goes on to say, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. And our Lord, in Luke 22:19 says, and it says of him, and he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. You know, he gave himself for us. And he instituted the new covenant in his blood. And he's saying, I'm giving myself for you. Remember me. And so I think it's really important that we meditate on what Jesus has done, what it took to purchase our freedom, what it took to bring us out of Egypt, out of our bondage, so that we don't go back into that bondage again, so that we don't long in our hearts to return to Egypt, so that we don't think that, wow, back then we had it good, just like the children of Israel, and sin in our hearts. But we remember, what did it take for us to obtain our freedom from Egypt so that we don't trample underfoot the precious blood of Christ again, so that we sin not against him? Like Joseph said, God forbid that I sin against God. Help us, Lord, to remember what it costs the Lord Jesus. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So, I'm gonna end up here with two verses from, one from Peter and one from the Apostle Paul. I already read this one from Peter, but he says, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth." It's okay to be reminded of the things we already know, because it's good to keep thinking about them. Even though we know them and we're established in the present truth, he says it will be negligent for me not to remind you. Isn't that interesting? And then in 1 Timothy 4:6, the Apostle Paul says, "If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, wherein thou hast attained." If you put the brethren in remembrance of these things, the teachings of Christ and his teachings, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. So I'm going to leave you with that. God bless you all.